Thank you so much, my brother, for the reading of God's holy word. Keep your Bible open on the book of Ecclesiastes as we come to an end of the studies of this book. Each month I have to select food for you, and I select cautiously what food our church needed to be strong and what food you need if you are a visitor to get aware of what the Bible really said. In January, we found the book of Ecclesiastes, excerpt from the book of Ecclesiastes, very valuable for our life. On February, we will take the attributes of God, what God can do, and do an analysis of them. Then on March, we go back to the book, to the Beatitudes. We have finished last year, chapter 5, and now we're trying to handle on the month of March, chapter 6. And so we remember there are three chapters on the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And so we learn like this on an alternative basis so that you have a mixed food. As when you go to the restaurant, you have a soup or salad and then the main dish and the dessert. And so I try to bring this to you spiritually so that you become strong in the word and stable in your life. Just to review and to refresh your mind, Ecclesiastes is a book that have a clue in a word, under the sun. Remember, 14 times the word under the sun is there and explain to us that the views that you are looking are from man's point of view and do not pass the sun and are an earthly point of view. No wonder in chapter 1, Solomon do an evaluation of life and all what he has done. And remember, and he came to the conclusion is useless. In chapter 2, Solomon turned to pleasure, all kinds of pleasure. The greatest man to have pleasure on this earth. And then his conclusion was, is useless. On chapter 3, remember, he makes an evaluation of time to understand this world from events perspective. And he is saying mankind is not God. Just the reverse of what Satan told Eve. Remember in Genesis 3:6, he said, if you take of this fruit, you will be like God. And so Solomon takes the evaluation of events in life by putting time to them and show to you and prove to you that mankind is not God. Now, I love chapter 12 because it's easy to preach on verse 13. If you look in verse 13, there are two thoughts of line, two lines of thoughts in that verse. One line is that we must take God seriously. He said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, it's not that I bring you the conclusion, God bring you the conclusion. See, you saw that word conclusion there. So God bring you the conclusion. And so we must take God very seriously. He said, fear God. Fear God. It's a very serious statement. And then we must take ourselves very seriously. Look at what he says, and keep his commandments. And then he added a little note at the end. He said, for this is the whole duty of man. This is it. If you want to have a summary of what you must do in this life, here they are. Number one, you need to take God seriously. Fear God. People say you have respect. No, being afraid of God. Really fear God. Have you ever have in your college or in your high school or in your graduate school a teacher who was mean? I did have a teacher like that in chemistry, and I learned chemistry because of the teacher. Mean. When the teacher walk into the room, the fly is going away. I mean, that kind of person, it looks to you like it's going to kill you. I complained to my father. I remember, I said, I think I'm going to avoid chemistry. And he said, no, sir, you might have problems in the class. Who is it? Is it a girl? Is it a boy? What is the problem? No, it's the teacher. Oh, that's good. He said, you take that class and you show that teacher that your name is Gabriel Otero. And boy, that makes you proud when you're 18. I was in college. And so I passed that class with flying colors. But boy, I was scared to death in the class because you cannot fool around. You cannot make anything. The teacher was so sharp, so intelligent, so dynamic that you can feel the vibration of her personality. I think a God who is holy. Remember Isaiah chapter 6 said, holy, holy, holy is God. We have little idea of his personality and who really God is as we develop our life in this world. So I'm going to develop these two thoughts. We must take God seriously, and there is an outline in the church bulletin, and there is the text they are going to use and the page number of the text so that I want you to see it with your own eyes in the Bible. It's not my ideas, it's God's idea. And I'm going to give you the reason why we must take God seriously. And then we must take ourselves seriously on the second part. So let's work together and find God's counsel for us today. Let us take God seriously. Fear God. Because if I fear God, will prevent me from sin. If you look in the book of Proverbs in chapter 8, and in verse 13, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. So the fear of the Lord, what is the result of the fear of the Lord? I hate evil. I have nothing to do with evil. I care less about evil. I care less about what the Bible calls sin. I am going to be separated from that. I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 16 now, in verse chapter 16, and on verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Do you see it? By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I have been a counselor for more than 30 years on radio. And many people ask the question, what can I do to stop drugs? What can I do to stop cheating my wife? What can I do to do this and the other? You know, people want to plan what I can do. And you can do nothing, really. But you can fear the Lord. And when you fear the Lord and you're going to do something and you ask yourself the question, is this what God wants me to do? That will stop you right there on the road. Ask yourself, the thing that I plan to do, this is what God really wants me to do. This is what really the Bible said I must do. And that will make you think. And will it stop you? So, I must take God seriously because it will prevent me from sin. If I fear God, you know, and in that sense, if I respect God, and I consider God in all the events of my life, I will be stopped for making something against God, which is called in the Bible, sin. I must take God seriously because it will be an encouragement to me. Look in the book of Proverbs in chapter 14 now. The book of Proverbs in chapter 14. And look with me in verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. If you want to be sure, you stand in the truth. If you want to be sure that what you are doing is right, you have to do things in the respect of God and the fear of God. And when you do that, you have the confidence that that is so. The same thing when we talk to other people who have other denominations and other things. I listen patiently to anybody. But I have the confidence that if I trust the Bible, I have the light from God. And if somebody can be sure I'm wrong, I'd be delighted to know. Because I want to know if I'm right or wrong. Is that right? I stand on the principle of the Bible. And so the encouragement is not that you are this denomination or the other denomination. You are a Christian who trusts the Word of God 100%. And that brings you confidence. And then when you act in your life, if you act under the fear of God, if the things you do is because God allows you to do, you have confidence and peace of mind. We must take God seriously because it will take care of my communication. Go with me to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Peter. It's in page 1322. And the book of 1 Peter, page 1322, in the Bible that is in the pew. And if I respect God, will take care of my communication. How should I respond to somebody who believes like, again, not like me? How should I respond to somebody who is asking me this or the other? Look at what the Bible says. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. You know what sanctify means? Means you set apart God in your soul, in the real you. You do not say, I'm just a Christian. I made a mistake in my Spanish class, and last Sunday I taught a class ahead. So my second teacher, Ephraim, today took the class that was before. You took it a Sunday ago. And so then that way we walked together with the church. And so today was Ephraim's turn. And I sit in the class and I listen. And he taught a great lesson about the issue of false prophecy. In other words, you false profession. You think you are a Christian by the things you do, and really you are not. And so how do you counsel people? Look at what the Bible said. 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Be sure that God is the center in your mind. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. Now, how do I give an answer? Look at how the Bible says. With meekness and fear and respect. Never, never, never belittle anybody, doesn't matter what denomination or what they believe. Never belittle that person. You need to consider yourself where you've been before you trust God. Before you were a Christian, where were you? In sin, in ignorance, or whatever. And so we have no right in ourselves to put down anybody. But rather to listen carefully and then to give a reason of our faith. Just to explain why we believe what we believe. That demands that you read the Bible, don't you? You have to know what you believe. And where do you believe? Well, right here in the Bible. This is your catechism. In the Catholic Church, they have a very, I just bought it, a very large catechism made in 1962. That's the new one with the revisions. And, you know, they try to put mixed tradition, the council of the high priest and the Bible. But in the Bible is the Bible. And there is a superior to the Bible is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to teach you and is going to lead you. John 14:26 said that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He is the one who is going to show you the way. And so we need to dialogue with people in the spirit of knowledge and not in the spirit of antagonism and getting upset. And that's also for the home between husband and wife. You cannot get upset of each other. But you listen to one another and explain to one another things from God's perspective. And if the other person is a believer, we'll accept it. So here's what it is. If you fear God, then that will take care of your communication. There are a lot of classes in business for communication. But the best class is this. You sanctify the Lord in your heart. That means everything God requires of you is in you. And now because you have God in your heart, you listen to somebody. You evaluate what the person said. And then you said, this is right with the Bible or this is wrong with the Bible. That is your authority. You change authority, then you get everybody's opinion. But this is it. This is what the scripture said. And then that's the law. And that's what we're supposed to do. That should be a challenge for you and me to read the Bible daily. Just at least a chapter a day. Just take your time. Where do I start, Pastor? Where the Bible start? Genesis chapter 1. So you start in Genesis chapter 1. And you will say, like many people told me, Pastor, we do not understand. That's true. That's true. There are many things we read we do not understand. What do? You keep on reading. You keep on reading because later on, 4 or 5 books on the way, you will get a light for what you read before. But if you do not read the Bible, at least once a year, you read the Bible, this is it. This is the book that has all the answers. This is the book that has all the direction. This is the book that will give you a strong comfort life. Why reading something else? All right. We must take God seriously because prevent me from sin, because will be an encouragement. Because will teach me how to communicate. And now because it will take care of my thoughts. Look with me in Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew chapter 15 will take care of my thoughts. Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to read verse 18 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. Now, I repeat a lot of the scripture because we are on radio live and some people do know they are listening, and I receive a lot of emails and cards saying, thank you for repeating the scripture. I learned this from Walter Cronkite in 1974 when I was trained for radio. He said, when you want people to remember, you repeat it 10 times slowly. And people will remember. And he taught me how to speak in radio. And in a studio was empty with a chair in the other side. And then so you, people were waiting on the other side of the studio in the glasses because I really talked to that chair. Looked like a crazy guy. But I talked to that chair in a program called The Pastor and You. And I learned to communicate in that way. So now look in Matthew 15, and we're going to read for ourselves verse 18 and 19. If I fear God, will take care of my thoughts. This is what the Bible said. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. See, if you say a word was nasty, it's not that you have a bad vocabulary. You have a bad heart. Comes from the heart. And then defile the man. Verse 19. But out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, death, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. It's not what you eat, said the Bible. Look at verse 20. But to eat with unwashed hands defile not the man. To eat enchiladas doesn't defile the man. It's what comes out after you eat the enchiladas. You know what I mean? It's what you said. Because what you said is not just words, it's your heart. The vocabulary is the window of the heart. And so if you fear the Lord, that means you know God. That will take care of that. You need no university. You need no seminars to take. You just ask God for mercy in your life to get Jesus Christ in your heart. To ask God that you are a sinner to tell God that in thee, you yourself cannot make it better what you are, but you can be as God if you take Jesus Christ, who is God, into your heart. And this is what the Bible says. Out of the heart, things comes in the way. So if you want to improve your life and improve your thoughts, you have to give your life to Christ. Christ need to have the absolute control, the absolute operation. He need to be in charge of you. And you need to have that kind of respect of God that before you do something, so let me see what it is. I worked for years, for 30 years in radio. In the last 10, 15 years, I worked as second in command. And we did a lot of banquets and a lot of things across America. And the president of the radio, the only thing he has to do is say, when you pick me up? So I picked you up in Chicago at this hour. All right. And then I had to labor. I had to call this manager. I had to call the others. I had to do this. I had to do the programming. I had to be with Raquel in time one day before. I had to be there with my car waiting as the president comes out, put it in the car, bring it to the hotel, get in from the hotel to the place, and so on. And the meeting had to be perfect. Now, how I got it perfect all the time? Because I knew what he wants. I knew what kind of music he wants. I knew what kind of speakers he wants. I knew what kind of tables he wants. I knew exactly how he wanted to set it up. And I argued with those managers. And I said, no, I want to do this, this. Oh, no, but listen, I got to. And I argued. So why? Because the president wants to. He said, well, where is he? He's the president. I'm nobody, but I'm in charge. Because he told me I'm in charge. I don't want this job, but that's the way it has to be. And when I was at the door, when the president walked in, I watched him, and he told me like this. I said, oh, he's happy. That's good. See, I had to work for somebody and make that person happy. And the people under me want to do it in the way they want it. So you cannot do it in the way you want it, even though if you're right. Because the guy on the top said, this is the way they need to be done. And you're in charge to do it. And I walk around. Well, you know, there is a guy on top of us. Is God. And he doesn't want you to live in the way you want to. He wants you to live in the way he wants to. And he wrote a book for that. And if you don't read this book, how do you know how to live? You are married. And you have a nasty husband. How do you conquer your husband? Well, you read 1 Peter 3:1, and your husband will be in the palm of your hand. So I have a nasty wife. What I do with my wife? Well, you read Ephesians 5, 22, 23, and your wife will be in your hands. See, this is the book that give you direction. And not only direction, at the end of direction is always a destiny. And so this is the book. And the problem is people do not use it. And so in order to clean up your thoughts, you need to be embedded in the Word of God. In radio, we not only just come up in the radio, we were tested. You have to read the Bible for 7-8 hours, almost a week. And then before a radio broadcast I have on Friday, a word from the pastor, somebody will ask me this, and I will say the scripture. This, for 1 hour testing, and I will say the scripture. I say, say it in Greek, say it in English, say it in like this, and you on and on and on. Embed your head with the scripture. So when somebody asks you a question, you refer the person, not to your thoughts, to the scripture. This is good for your life and my life. My thoughts will not change unless I put the Word of God into my thought. Clean up the hard drive and fill the hard drive with the Word of God in computer terms. We must take God seriously because it will take care of my thought, because it will take care of my choices. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Here's the first choice of life. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is what? Is the beginning of knowledge. You want to start the Christian life right? And some people said, should I study the book of Matthew? Should I study this? No, sir. You start with the fear of God. You start praying and praying and say, God, give me that respect for you. And the Bible teaches you how to be a member of a church. The Bible teaches you how to walk in life. The Bible teaches all. But see, here's the key. The fear of God is the beginning. If you have no that respect, that being scared to death of God, then you will never do it. You will take chances. Well, I do it my way. And people say, well, you know, I'm not perfect yet. These are excuses, my friend. When somebody said, well, I made the mistake because I'm not perfect. God knows you are not perfect, but that's why he gave you the Holy Spirit to be in you and to knock you down and say, hey, you're wrong. But you have no the scripture. The Holy Spirit had no point to make you aware of it. Finally, we must take God seriously because it will please the Lord. Look in the fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, right here in chapter 31. And on verses 12 and 13, page 254 in the Bible that is in the pew. You must fear the Lord because that's pleasing to God. Gather the people together, God's talking to Moses, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and what? And fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over the Jordan to possess it. That is the secret for America. That every family will teach his children to fear the Lord. You should tell your children, we will do this because this is what God requires. The president of Santa Fe Railroad Track was in my church in Newark, California. The Bible church there, that was the first church I pastored, First Baptist Church. And I taught the scripture intensively. We had Bible class every day. And I was young, 3-4 hours a day. And he taught his children to fear God. And one day we come out. We don't have a church building at that time. We have a high school. We fill the high school morning and evening in Newark. And we get out of the, it was dark. And the moon was shining like I love it. I love when the moon shines. The presence of God in the night. And I walk out and this boy, 4 years old, screamed, Daddy, Daddy, he said, God, turn on the flashlight. And I look, I said, for a boy to say that. He said, well, you know, I was reading for him Genesis chapter 1, said this man to me. And I said, how can I illustrate my boy, 4 years old, what the moon really is that shines in this and makes the chronometer of time and so on? And how I will teach that? So he said, it was dark, and as I turned off the lights in the room, and he said, son, look. And he turned the flashlight and said, this is what the moon is. It's a flashlight from God. He got it. When the boy got to the school and the teacher started talking about evolution and so forth, the boy would say, no, ma'am, this is the flashlight from God, you know? This is what you and I need to have. We need to have in our mind, I'm going to please the Lord. And the Lord is not the government that need to teach your children. You are the one who teach your children. And you teach your children in the fear of God. Let the government teach what they want to, but you are responsible to teach this. When I came to America in 1965, first incident with the government was when my daughter went to school at 6 years old. My daughter sits at my dining table, and she says, I do it my way. What? I look, Mama, and I say, where did she learn that? She said, I don't know. So very kindly and gently, I deal until Miriam tell me that the teacher said, you have to be yourself. So the next day, I took my daughter in my hand. I went and said to the principal, I want to see this teacher. He doesn't know the scripture. He said, well, you know, this is public school, sir. Listen carefully. This teacher doesn't know the scripture. And so the teacher came in and they thought, well, this foreigner, you know, they thought I was a Mexican, but too tall for a Mexican, but it's okay. So we listened to him. And so they were like this and the principal was there. He said, what's wrong? He said, my daughter have learned, I be myself. Oh yes, psychology teaches, sir, mama said, nobody teach my daughter how to behave in life. You teach math and writing and so on. But how to behave is me, is my responsibility. This is what the Bible says. And the teacher said, well, he said, we're in America. I don't care what country. I shoot the person if they teach something else. Oh, boy, they said, well, you better take the daughter out of here. The school was only two houses from me. I lost control. And the principal, 1965, the principal said, we never have somebody claiming the scripture. Well, God claims the scripture. And so I share that with my grandpa. I call it the person that now is with the Lord, the one, a Holland man who brought me from Argentina. And he said, Gabriel, I talked to the Hollanders. And there was a Holland school for children there in Alameda. And so they accepted my daughter. Even though we don't have Holland blood, they accepted my daughter. Because I stood on the principle that I want my daughter to be taught in the Bible, in the school, as in home. See, parents, you have the greater responsibility and the greatest privilege to teach your children how to live. First, you give the example. And then you say, I live in this way because of the scripture. So we must take God seriously. Secondly, we must take ourselves seriously. Remember what they said in Ecclesiastes? They said, fear the Lord and keep his commandments. See, Solomon does not say, memorize his commandments. He does not say, write down his commandments. He does not say, study his commandments. He says, keep his commandments. How I do that? Well, I show you first in the New Testament, James book. At the end here, James chapter 1 and verse 22. Right almost at the end of the Bible. All right, James chapter 1 verse 22. Look at what the Bible said. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You keep his commandment by being doers of the word. That is the New Testament message to us. All right? And then, if you want an Old Testament message, go with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 13, page 1224. Romans chapter 2. And verse 13, page 1222. This will be an Old Testament presentation of the same thought. For not the hearers of the law, that's Old Testament, are just before God, but the doers of the law. So you have Romans 2:13, and you have James chapter 1, verse 22. And one teaches in the New Testament, you are doers of God's word. In the Old Testament, you are doers of the law. You know, the Bible is not about ceremonial law. It's not about tradition. It's about practicing what God tells us to do. That is the priority number one we should have. How are we doing? See, in 1965, I saw America slipping. Not because of military power. Not because of financial problems. I saw America going away because in the schools, the Bible was put away. And the fear of God was put away. Then I knew that in the years to come, America will be destroyed. Not by an army. Not by an economical catastrophe. It's by the heart of the people. They will not know how to elect the president. They will not know right from wrong anymore. My friend, how are you in the reading and in the fear of God? I grew up in a very traditional home. We had to be a certain hour on the table in the morning before school. We had to have this tablecloth and dress and suit and ties and so on and the table. In the afternoon at 4 o'clock, we had to be with suit again, sitting on the table. My grandparents will read the scripture. Missionary Chevalier from Switzerland will come in and read the scripture for us. Then we get tracts in our hand and we go around the neighborhood and pass tracts with the missionary and so on. This was the home of a Christian home. Everybody knew my grandmother was a Christian. Even though she was an Arab, she was a Christian. She loved the Lord. She will cook every day extra meals and take me by the hand and go to a neighbor and say, I have cooked this today. This is a special dish. I want you to try it. And people love her. Love her, because she walked with the Bible. Whatever grandma walked, I came to America. Grandma long time died. Came to America, and I received one letter after the other of neighbors. They have come to know the Lord because they remember my grandmother. See, the Bible said your work in the Lord is not in vain. Your work of the Lord is not in vain. And the Bible is saying to me that I think that we are not taking God very seriously. Now look, I'm going to have a conclusion. One text, and it's in Psalm 22 and verse 23. No, in First Peter. Psalm 22 and verse 23, page 647. That is my conclusion. Look at what the Bible says. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. So whether we come from a Jewish tradition or the spiritual Israel of God, we have one work to do. We need to fear God and praise him. Fear God and praise him. Remember that. We need to fear God and praise him. One time a pastor told me, he said, the people who sin in your church, you pay them? No, I said, we're a small church. All right. He said, we bring the best actors, the best singers, and we had to pay $500, $600. This is in the years 1970, to these people to sing, to bring the glory to God. No, you don't bring glory. An unbeliever can sing very well, but doesn't bring glory to God. What the Bible said here? Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. See, you can say anything you want to about the Lord. But if you don't have the Lord in your heart, doesn't accomplish anything. So the vital point here this morning in the conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes is this. Now, do you really know God? And if you know God, are you living under God's direction? That is the counsel. That is the conclusion of the whole matter. Are you living under the direction of God? Is your life a style that represents God? And your home, don't judge anybody else, you and you alone. Are you kind, gentle? Look at the beautiful and wonderful words of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. Are you living in the Spirit of God? Are you respecting your wife? Are you honoring your husband and children? Are you obeying your parents? Are we living the Scripture? Oh, just you come on Sunday and go home and do what you want to. That's the conclusion of the book, and I think that's very serious. Do we read the Bible here? And some people told me, I had a lot of calls from Salinas, so I have a lot of listeners from Salinas. And some of the people thanked me for reading an entire chapter of the Bible. I said, perhaps this is the only time we read the Bible in our life. Isn't that sad? The only time they read a chapter of the Bible right here in church? That is sad. My brother and my sister, may the Lord encourage us to fear him and to live for him. Father, thank you for the exhortation of your word. Thank you that your word is serious. Thank you that your word is not fooling around with our life. It's telling us like it is. I want to say forgive us for not paying attention to the seriousness of our life. And cause us to read your word and to live by your word. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lost and hopeless.
Jesus blood
can make you free.
For he saved
the worst among you.
When he saved
a wretch like me.
And I surely know.
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
And I know.
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Free from the burden of sin.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
Thank you so much, and it is a joy to have a family with musical talents. It's just beautiful. You did very well, sir. Muchas gracias. he's an honorary member of the Spanish class. See, do you understand today? Eh? A little fast. All right. Today is a special day, not only because we have a lot of good food over there for you and me to have the fellowship, and we hope you stay, regardless if you are a guest or not. But two babies were born last year here, and one who I love it, Jason Taylor, is here. I wish I had Josiah so I can put the two together and dedicate it facing each other so that Pastor Thomason can marry them 20 years from now. But
So we show them the picture. They belong to each other. But I want to, before I call the family, I'm going to give you a reference why we dedicate babies. The law of the Old Testament require a dedication of a baby at the 8 days. And it's in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, and in verse 21 and 22, that baby Jesus was no exception. He had to be dedicated. And the Bible said, and when the 8 days were accomplished, I'm reading Luke's Gospel 2:21, for the circumcision of the child refers to Christ, his name was called Jesus, which was so name of the angel before he was conceived in the wombs. Now, a boy born in the family had to have the name of the father, and this was an exception to the rule because of the angel announcement. Now, verse 22. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. To present, see that word? To present him to the Lord. So it was a presentation. It was not, we don't make the baby Christians. We don't change the baby's attitude. We don't influence the baby's character or mind or anything. It's just a presentation, the Bible says. And I'm reading now verse 26. After the baby was presented, the Bible says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, this is to Simeon, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, and this is the high priest, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms. And so the tradition is that then the high priest will take the baby in the arms and dedicate the baby to the Lord. And so we're going to do that as a command of the scripture. Jesse Taylor Regis is going to be dedicated to God. And that means this. That means the parents will make all the efforts to teach that child in the fear of God. And you and I will make all the efforts to make a contribution to that child may grow in the fear of God. That's very important. So we welcome the parents to come here, and Grandma is here from Arizona. So please come here forward. Yes, all of you. All right. And I take Jesse. Jesse likes me, so it's no problem. Because I play horse with her. I introduce the boy. See, that's what Jesse likes. Come on, baby. All right. Okay, here's mommy. Here's mommy. All right. And we're going to pray again to this beautiful baby, Jesse Taylor Regis. So blonde. Regis don't look right. Okay. Here it is. Nothing against Mexico. All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Will you stand, please, as I pray together? And then you greet the families after. And then after that, we have the fellowship. Father, here is J.C. Taylor Regis. We bring it to you, and we bring our life to you, that we be in contribution to raise this child in the fear of God. Bless the parents. Give them patience, strength, provision for the child, and give us the kindness and gentleness to guide the child. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.